Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there in Waukesha is Brian. You are listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, as well as 101 FM The Shaw. And Brian, we're talking about the silly season that's going on here in the state of Wisconsin. And we are taking suggestions on what callers believe could be maybe wrong answers only, but also we'll take, if it's a good creative suggestion, we'll take that as well. But how to improve Wisconsin, because apparently it's that time of the year where nothing else is going on, so we're going to get some of these on-ball policies floated.
Give us your top 10 list. Who is your favorite of all time as a lineman? Only Ben?
That's just what's circulating right now. We've got
who's your favorite Pittsburgh Steeler?
Yeah, and by all means, some of those lists are cool because
that's fun.
They're subjective,
look,
I'll
look through it. I've clickbaited. I've fallen for clickbait.
I've been waiting to see where some of the free agents that are still wide receiver free agents that we're gonna land, and so pretty much anything that there's like one of the remaining ones is choosing where to. I click on them all. I click on every single one of them.
You're gonna end up with Terrell Owens. Anyway,
Chad Ochocinco.
Yes. Yes.
One of them, but we'll see. But that is a tangent for another day. But we're taking your calls, 844-967-2789, because we've got Kevin Nicholson suggesting pretty much part-time benefits and making the Wisconsin legislature a part-time job rather than a full-time job.
Which, again?
I want to say I don't think it is not the way to do it. I think if we want to attract the best people to serve the state of Wisconsin, I think it should be a full-time job that incentivizes the best people to get involved. In Wisconsin, we have incentives for some of the worst people to get involved, and that's why we have some of the state lawmakers that we have. But at the same time, there are people that are really, really awesome that get called to serve in the state government, and they go and do that. And I don't think changing it up because the current people in charge are sitting and already wrapped up the legislative calendar for the year, just because that's the case doesn't mean that we necessarily need to go and overhaul the entire thing. But because we have an outsider running for governor and has from by all means at least a decent shot at a primary, because it's an open field. There's a three-way primary for the Republican nomination for governor, and Kevin Nicholson could realistically get it, Brian. And the fact that he's running on this Trumpian style of, oh, well, let's just shake
it all up.
It
needs to be different.
Yeah. Like, that's,
let's make
to
it
me,
different without thinking about it.
It doesn't sound like the right thing to do, but we're taking
again,
your calls.
Again, it's progress. We agree on the same shared reality.
Yeah, I agree.
Not what to do about it, but at least it's the same shared reality.
Right. I agree that the current people in charge are doing a bad job by already wrapping up the legislative calendar for the year. I don't necessarily come to the same conclusion that Kevin Nicholson does.
And they should be mocked for it and asked about it every single time you have a chance to ask your representative questions. You should lead off by, I don't know why I'm getting a voicemail or talking to a staffer right now, because you should have all the time in the world to answer the phone and listen to what I have to say, no matter how inane my ideas are.
Pretty much.
I have good ideas. But
Brian,
anyway.
Brian has great ideas.
Let's hear what your ideas are. Let's go to Randy in Stoughton. How you doing, Randy? What's going on, man?
Hi, Tangents. How are you today?
Glorious, man. Glorious.
All right. Well, one possibility is I believe the state constitution requires a minimum of 74 state assembly people. We have 99. Loping 25 off of that number would not only save a lot of money for staff and, you know, the representative themselves, but also, you know, and the per diem, but it would also help in redrawing these maps since none of the courts want to do it.
If you had less representatives, that would force everybody to have to draw the maps. For sure.
Yes.
That's a twofer. Let's put that one on the board. I think that's going to stick for a little bit. At least create a nice stain. That's good.
Yeah. I think like that, Randy. It would take care of these part-timers, sir.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Randy. I really like that one. Thank you very much. Call again. That's really good stuff. We open up, we ask for ideas, and we're getting good stuff already. This is gold, Jerry, gold.
We're getting ideas, that's for sure. We appreciate your call, Randy. You can be like Randy, 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. Up next, we got Phil in Minneapolis calling in. Phil, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is a thought that goes to any average worker. It has been proposed that instead of pegging the federal minimum wage to a very heavily battened down cost of living increase, they should peg increases in the minimum wage to the amount of money that Wall Street, average Wall Street employees get in bonuses. And I saw two different figures for this. One figure said that if they pegged the minimum wage to Wall Street bonuses, the minimum wage would be $61.75 an hour. And another study said, don't laugh. The other study said the minimum wage, this is a more conservative study, obviously, using slightly different calculations, pegged it to only $44 an hour.
Wow. Now,
6 years ago, when I first heard of the Fight for 15, I thought, well, 15, I did a little study back then, 6 years ago, and determined that $15 an hour was still significantly into very low income territory. $7.25 is like a training wage for a 15-year-old.
Yeah, folks. Just to back you up there, I want to recommend everybody to look up and get this information from the Pew Research Center. The article is, for most workers, real wages have barely budged in decades. And for searching, all you got to do is Pew Research Center, workers, real wages. And there's a graph here. Back in 1964, the average current dollars at $2.50 an hour in today's hours was $20.27. So my point is that if you made $2.50 back in 1964, you were making the equivalent of $20 an hour in today's in 2018 dollars. I mean, it's we've been stagnant as far as buying power goes. So yeah, tying the minimum wage to some sort of, you know, discernible equation would be great. I mean, I'd love to do it to the Wall Street execs thing, but you know that they're just going to hide and misreport the whole thing anyway, and then you're going to have to find some sort of, you know, IRS that isn't already doing the job in the first place because it's been defunded. But then you go and have some other slap on the wrist type of don't do that type of SEC type of thing saying, oh, don't, great, but people still go around that.
No,
so you have to have something like really hard and tangible.
Yeah, and I think having a proposal like that would be an excellent thing to have the Wisconsin legislature debating right now. But I'm sorry, folks. Parks closed. Moose out front should have told you. The Wisconsin legislature has wrapped it up for the year, so they're not going to be doing that. And I get the frustration. I understand the anger that someone like Kevin Nicholson, an outsider, has of saying, well, we should equate part-time work with part-time pay then, and talking about these benefits for these legislators that are working quote seemingly part-time. But at the same time, I don't think the conclusion needs to be then we need to start docking their pay. I think we need to band together and demand better representatives being sent to these elected offices so that they are working for us full-time and having debates like how to address the minimum wage and not actually growing with how actual dollars are evolving over time.
You got to also remember that right now, having people fold up session and be done for the year, most folks, that doesn't make them want to vote more. It makes them want to vote less, and that's kind of what they're trying to do.
Again, that is an end goal for one of the political parties here in the state of Wisconsin, having fewer people vote. And so, folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking your calls on suggestions of maybe how to better improve the Wisconsin legislature outside of just say, hey, it's part-time work, so you're going to get part-time pay and benefits.
We got a couple good ideas so far.
Yeah.
I like this. Let's keep it on the roll, guys.
Up next, we got PT calling in from Milwaukee. PT, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. So, you know, what Nicholson is doing reminds me of what Scott Walker did with Act 10. He kind of divided and conquered. He attacked teachers and public service workers, saying, Look at all the pay they get. Look at all the benefits they get. Shouldn't they be? Shouldn't we cut their benefits to so you feel better? You know what I'm saying? It's similar to that, and you know it's an interesting. You know, I think he's doing that in some degree because he can't stand Voss. Voss told him to stay out, and so he's. You know, he's pretty angry.
He's called for Voss to resign, too. Like, he's...
Right.
And so have we, but anyway.
There's definitely... there's a little bad blood between Nicholson and Voss. Like you said, Voss told him to stay out of the primary. But PT, I absolutely believe that that's kind of where he's getting at. He wants to... Yeah. He wants to say, hey, if they're it's part-time work, anybody could go do it. If you made it part-time, you'd open it up to more people. And they're already doing part-time work, so let's do that. Rather than saying, well, there's unfinished business out there. There could be more that the legislature is doing right now. We're in this quote-unquote silly season where there's ample time where we shouldn't be having conversations about what strange oddball proposals could be thrown out there, but rather having tangible conversations of how to improve the state.
Exactly. I'll talk to you later, guys.
Appreciate the call, PT.
Thanks, PT.
But yeah, it's just one of those weird, I just don't understand the conclusion that they get to. Like you said, Brian, we've got a shared reality, but we're not coming to the same conclusions off that shared reality.
And like Scott Walker, he's attacking the government again that he's running to be part of. Mm-hmm. Don't get
that
it.
That he wants to lead as the next governor of Wisconsin.
Let's see what Joe in Madison has to say.
Hey, guys. Great subject. My first thoughts were that possibly you could get people to occupy the state capitol and insist that they aren't going to leave until the legislators come up with, let's say, a medical marijuana bill or some idea what they're going to do with the budget surplus and with perhaps saying rural broadband ought to be one of the entities or one of the subjects that should receive more monies. But I don't know. With this group, maybe it's just fine if they don't work that much, which is a terrible, terrible thing to say. But it's when
I've had those comments on these airwaves, Joe.
We've made that observation ourselves.
Yeah, because it says that it's, you know, the 10 states that have a full-time state legislature, the definition says a full-time state legislature is defined as a legislature that meets throughout the year. Well, they don't. I mean, you know, sadly, that is true. I don't know. I'm thinking that the idea of medical marijuana, having people who are affected by this across the state coming in and then just refusing to leave until there's some action, maybe that's the sort of thing that would get attention.
I guess voting for candidates that ran on that platform over and over and over and over again wasn't enough to go and wake up the people, because voting didn't work, apparently, because that's how Evers got in. That's how a lot of candidates got in. They're running on rural broadband and everything, but they can't do it because Republicans...
No, because I believe a proposal like that, Brian, and we appreciate your call, Joe, a proposal like what Joe is suggesting, saying medical marijuana, that has support of lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, but it doesn't have the support of the leaders of the Republican Party and the Wisconsin legislature, so it's not going to happen. It's not just that you need to vote for better candidates on particular issues like medical marijuana, it's you need to vote for individuals to send them to the state legislature that will then in turn vote for people to run the parties in the state legislature that agree with those things as well. Because it's not enough to send a Republican that supports medical marijuana to the state legislature anymore. You also have to have somebody that's going to demand that from the Republican leadership. Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu aren't going to touch that one.
And that's where we were talking yesterday with Sheriff David A. Clark. Some strange bedfellows we have that are sharing the same reality as us, and we thought those were the wacky ones. A former disgraced sheriff of Milwaukee who let people die in his jail, and Kevin Nicholson, whose family maxed out to his opponent.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We've got one more segment left in the day. Enough time for your call still. 844-967-2789. It's silly season here in Wisconsin, and we want to hear your ideas.
Sorry, folks, park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.
That's gold, Jerry.